From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week.
The Hovland Volunteer Fire Department learned last week that it will receive a $28,000 FEMA grant to help with recruitment, training, and support. Sean Parrish is the Hovland Fire Chief.
This grant is going to allow us to hopefully make some strides at getting some younger members on our department. That's always a challenge for volunteer fire departments is to keep filling their ranks with new blood, and we're going to actively seek to do that over the next year or so.
This is the second federal grant that the Hovland Fire Department has been awarded this year. Back in February, the department received a $46,000 Assistance to Firefighters grant to upgrade and purchase equipment. Currently, the Hovland Fire Department has about 24 volunteers, including firefighters, medical first responders, and members of its traffic safety team. They provide service to the greater Hovland area. Fire Chief Sean Parrish.
Our coverage area is unorganized territory, and we do cover the area between Brule River on Highway 61 and the Reservation River on Highway 61. And then everything inland from there. So if you live within that district, we can use you.
Hovland area residents interested in volunteering with the fire department should come to one of the regular meetings at the Hovland Fire Hall held on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month at 7 p.m. Or, says Fire Chief Sean Parrish, ask a neighbor.
Lots of folks in Hovland are involved with the fire department, so if you just ask around, you can generally make contact with us and find out a little more.
The boiler that heats the Grand Marais Municipal Pool and the rest of the building has stopped functioning. The 17-year-old boiler has had downtimes in the past, but according to park manager Dave Terstig, this time it's down for good.
We're in hot water. We've got hot water, but our boiler at the pool has reached the end of its service life. Our main boiler, that is. We do have a backup, so it's running and the pool's still open and the water's still warm. But the big, hard discussion at the park board was the pool boiler and that it needs to be replaced.
The park board Tuesday voted to approach the city to buy a new system. However, it will be expensive.
The motion was made. The park board feels it's important to keep the pool open, and they would like to appeal to the city council to authorize funds for the replacement of a boiler. I gave them five figures, ballparking $15,000 to $20,000.
The current backup boiler is only 2 years old, and it's possible the city council could hold off purchasing a second boiler. The proposed timeline for a new community center pool complex to be built is optimistically set at 2 years from completion.
Public education in Minnesota is in crisis. State education funding has dropped nearly 14% since 2003, while costs have continued to rise. Many districts, including Cook County, have also seen a steady decline in enrollment, triggering further reductions in state aid. This has put ISD 166 in a tough financial position. But Cook County isn't alone. Nearly 90% of Minnesota's school districts now rely on local property tax levies to make up for the reductions in state funding.
Well, welcome to tonight's presentation on the operating levy that ISD 166 is running this fall. And appreciate everybody coming out on this rainy evening.
Beth Schwartz is superintendent of ISD 166. She's been traveling the county making presentations on the operating levy referendum.
An operating levy, let's talk about what it is. It is a voter-approved property tax increase which generates money for a public school system. It would raise taxes $67 per year on $100,000 worth of marketable tax value.
Richard Smith was one of three people who came to the levy presentation at Gunflint Lodge on Monday, September 27th. His two children graduated from Cook County High School.
My wife and I feel that because our children were afforded the education that enabled them to go where they are today and have accomplished what they have, we feel that the students, the upcoming students, need the same opportunities. And if you look at the figures, yes, it hurts, and yes, I don't like to pay taxes, but I'm kind of, I look at this as a as an investment to the future, not only of myself and my family, but also for Cook County. If we don't offer good education in Cook County, we are not going to get the professional teachers and doctors and other professional people we need to support Cook County residents. And therefore, it's going to hurt our county if we don't have a good school system. It hurts our county if we don't have a good hospital. It hurts our county if we don't have good churches. But we definitely got to have good schools.
One of the big questions that's out there is, well, how did this end up happening? Why do you need the money? And there's several reasons for that. First of all, there's been declining and more significantly changes in how the state and federal aid funding comes in. The state of Minnesota has shifted funds and has delayed funds, which has forced us to borrow money. In our case, we borrowed approximately just under $700,000 last year. And the amount of aid we receive has also decreased.
Both of our kids graduated. My daughter is a teacher at Lake Superior College, has a master's degree and teaches nursing. Our son holds two board certifications, one's as a general surgeon, another is a plastic surgeon, and they're both graduates from Cook County.
What happens if the levy doesn't pass? Well, the school board, by law, has to balance the budget. One thing we would have to look at is the elimination of some, possibly all, athletics and activities. We would have more classes in grades 4 through 12 with over 30 students. It would depend on how many courses the school board chose to cut and where they decided to cut from.
ISD 166 has already made a lot of cuts. More than $850,000 has been trimmed from the budget since the 2006-2007 school year, including 5 full-time teaching positions and 4 full-time support staff positions. In addition, student fees have gone up, class sizes have increased, paraprofessional hours have been reduced, and bus routes curtailed. Despite these measures, ISD 166, like many other districts across the state of Minnesota, can't make ends meet, forcing them to turn to local communities for help.
I'd like to give a little bit of presentation here tonight, about 15 minutes worth, on the levy.
Virginia Hahn was one of about 15 people that came to the referendum meeting in Hovland on Tuesday, September 28th.
I can remember when I was in probably sixth grade, and this was shortly after World War II, families were booming. And we had a referendum, and my mother went around trying to get people to vote for it. And she went to a lot of retired people who were going to vote it down because they didn't have kids in school. That's pretty pathetic and short-sighted. The kids are our future. I've got grandchildren that are in other school districts, and I can't do anything for them. I can vote here. I can volunteer in this school district. And the kids are wonderful.
The final ISD 166-sponsored referendum meeting will be at the Arrowhead Center for the Arts in Grand Marais on Monday, October 11th at 6:30 p.m. The following evening, Tuesday the 12th, a group that opposes the operating levy referendum, led by former school board candidate Michael O'Phelan, will meet at the Senior Center in Grand Marais at 7 p.m.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.